Well, hello, my wizarding friends, and welcome to the latest episode of Potter Watch. I'm afraid that River and Rapier can't be with us today, so you're stuck with me. I'm Annie Rutherford, and the editor of Far Off Places magazine, a magazine of written whimsy to keep your spirits warm as the cold nights draw in. Today, we're taking a peek between the pages of Far Off Places' latest Halloween-themed issue, Under the Bed. We'll be starting off with All Hallows' Eve, written and read by Colin Will, and then we'll hear Guising and Blood, Snow, Ebony, both written and performed by Katie Ewing. Now, I'm afraid we had quite a few problems with interference in the recordings for today. I think that last night's revelers might have set off my sneakerscope, which you can hear in the background, particularly during the reading of All Hallows' Eve, so I'm afraid I can only apologise about that. Still, if you have your ones at the ready, then we'll begin.
All Hallows' Eve. Pumpkins, the only fruit that rhymes with oranges. When I was young, we had none. We carved turnips with a lid which stank in the candle's heat. We dressed up fancy, pirates, cowboys, soldiers, the girls as princesses, butterflies, fairies. We travelled in groups. My sons, at that age, adopted the embarrassment of the times. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't walk the circle we now called in the state. Now I prefer my pumpkins blitzed in soup, pureed in pies, baked in yellow breads. These nights, I keep my door locked, and any nocturnal knocks unanswered.
Guising. Until I've tasted Halloween, it's hard to get a proper bite of winter. We should walk in the night again with our pumpkin lantern, find some kind of perimeter, a closure, a welcome, a banishment. From the garden cottage, we'd been able to step out the door and into the woods, walk a circuit round the estate drive, leading our wee girls safe, dressed up scary, searching for the fearful with our fearful selves. A new family tradition. Now, settled by the wayside, we'll have to choose to use the road or just go round the garden, our own bit. I remember being tiny, tripping on my costume, trying to keep up, our lantern a turnip cut crude with two blunt knives, risking hurt fingers. The welcome stink when the lid got too hot and started to burn. The light it gave was nothing to the awful face it wore to scare the ghosts. Torches were always dimming to nothing or blinking off and pitching us into dark, especially on the unlit road to the motorway houses, winding steeply under what my sister called the hangman's tree. We knew which doors had welcome behind them and which to leave, those which hid the terrifying or the terrified. Some just stayed closed and silent. With luck, we'd be met with oohs and ahs, herded into heat and colour, blaring tellies turned down while we said our pieces to the mums and grannies, the scarcely seen dads, all colluding in this yearly rite, rich autumn's fall to blank rest, to death, to sleep. To fires and shut curtains, to coming in early, this letting in of the dark and strange, this warding off the empty months, the endings. Our plastic bags would fill with spoil from house to house. Handfuls of monkey nuts, tinfoil-wrapped tablet or treacle toffee, apples, tangerines. You learned their specialities and what you'd get from where. Some folk only gave fruit. The odd one, a newcomer, hadn't known to expect us, but was charmed and wanted to help, would rake around for odds and ends to gift us. Under my bed, the hall would dwindle over days and nights to sharp nutshells, dying fruit remains, and sticky ends. We should walk in the night again and taste the change.
Thank you.
blood, snow, ebony. Once she had been rosy, dark-haired, fresh and unstained, had skipped through life, noticing butterflies, intricate lichens, infinite skies. Now, when she asks for beauty, the mirror can show hints of stepmother, even glimpses of the witch. She is pale from staying indoors, lined by life, and her hair would be silver if she let it. Only henna stains it dark. Her mask can turn harsh without her even knowing. Sometimes she thinks she'd like to slip out in the night and dance her slippers to pieces, but she never learned to dance and doesn't like to leave her tower.
When he's not digging his allotment or in Dunbar's community garden, Colin Will writes a bit and runs Calder Woods Press. He's travelled to a lot of far-off places and thinks highly of them. He's been published by Red Squirrel Press, and his personal website is www.colinwill.co.uk. Katie Ewing writes poetry and occasional stories in between being a wife and mother. She's graduated from her Liberal Arts MA with a dissertation on retellings of fairy stories. She's been published here and there, and sometimes performs her poetry in public. She hopes for a happy ending, but would especially like to enjoy the rest of the story first. If you're interested in this Far Off Places lark, check out our website at faroffplaces.org, where you can summon your very own copy of Under the Bed. We're also to be found on those Muggle networks, what are they called? Tweetface? Bird Book? Something like that. Oh, and if you fancy getting involved yourself, why not write for us? We've just opened submissions for our fifth issue with the theme sartorial, so get your quills at the ready and send us your owls by midnight on New Year's Eve. Listeners, that brings us to the end of another Potter Watch. We don't know when it will be possible to broadcast again, but you can be sure that we shall be back. Keep twiddling those dials. The next password will be Mad Eye. Keep each other safe. Keep faith. Good night.